You've published a few articles so far on the NATO Association of Canada's site. Your most recent article, called "Twitter Sued for Enabling ISIS, How Governments and Social Media Can Unite to Fight Extremism." This was published on Thursday, January 21st. In the article, you stated, "A lawsuit filed against Twitter is claiming that the social media company should bear financial responsibility for allowing its services to enable the Islamic State's terrorist activities around the world." The complaint, filed on January 13, 2016, by a Florida woman who lost her husband to an ISIS attack in November of 2015, argues that without Twitter, the explosive growth of ISIS over the last few years into the most feared terrorist group in the world would not have been possible. Would you be able to provide our listeners with an overview of this most recent publication, along with the main points that you highlighted in this article?
Sure. I mean, you covered the heart of the issue. Twitter is being sued in a civil suit for having provided what is argued as material support to ISIS. The argument that is happening here is if Twitter hadn't provided that material support, ISIS wouldn't have dominated the region and might not have led to the death of this Florida woman's husband. There are two sides to that, in my opinion. One of them is the legal aspect. There's definitely a legal question of, can you consider Twitter being used as a platform for recruitment and just general propaganda for ISIS? Does that count as material support? And there have been cases on this before. Technically speaking, social media platforms are generally covered by the Communications Decency Act, which, as a general overview here, says that an intermediary platform can't be held responsible for the actions of the person using their platform. That's one argument, that Twitter shouldn't be held responsible, especially since Twitter does have rules moderating its content. It recently updated its policy to be able to be more proactive in taking down extremist content. That being said, Twitter is in a little bit of an iffy spot here. If somehow providing communication support counts as material support, then they could be argued to be in violation of the U.S. Anti-Terrorism Act, in which case this lawsuit would go through. So legally speaking, there is ground to be broken here. The question has been asked in the past, that this is the first time that a serious lawsuit is happening. So in terms of that, that's one interesting aspect, and that's something I brought up a little bit. But the other side of this is the role that we now expect social media firms to play in national security matters. So the traditional dichotomy, and something that Twitter has really tried to uphold, is the freedom of speech and protection of privacy. So Twitter is a social media platform. Freedom of speech, you should be able to say what you want on a platform, right? So it's an interesting dichotomy, especially when you have the government, whose role is to ensure national security. And up until recently, there's been a little bit of a clash. Twitter has been very, very adamant about protecting the freedom of speech, as well as protecting privacy of its users, which is why encryption has been a very touchy subject between social media and government in discussions. So after the Snowden revelations, there is a whole question, is there too much? Is the government going too much for national security? Is it violating privacy? And is it violating freedom of speech and things like that? So that's really what this lawsuit provided an opportunity to discuss a little bit more. As a follow-up to that, recently President Obama has actually reopened negotiations. President Obama recently met with some Silicon Valley executives, many of them being prominent social media firms, to discuss a different way of engaging against extremist messages. Particularly, rather than focusing on trying to combat Twitter through taking down sites all the time, to maybe be a little bit more proactive as well. Taking down ISIS's accounts, that is one way to do it, but it's also important we have to acknowledge that extremist content is online, and it is being propagated through social media. And there's only so much the firm itself can do in terms of regulating that and monitoring that, especially since some of these sites are going up and down. You don't know if it's a bot or not. You don't know if there's an actual person who's monitoring and putting up the messages. So what the government, I think, is trying to do, which I think is a great idea, it's trying to now focus on creating content. How do we create content to combat extremist messages? How can we work and cooperate with social media firms to, yes, protect the freedom of speech, but also provide a counter message to extremists? So it's a shift. It's a shift from, rather than invading in social media firms and saying we need this information for security purposes, to stepping back and saying, okay, let's work together on this. Let's find a way to balance national security and freedom of speech. Let's find a way that we can combat a serious extremism propaganda online and make it so that way there is a stronger counter message.
What's your opinion about this case as a whole? As you mentioned, it's a matter of national security and addressing freedom of speech, which is difficult to do. Do you think that the woman who filed a lawsuit against Twitter is right in doing so?
There's really no yes or no answer. It depends on a lot of interpretations of definitions, right? If you choose to include electronic communications, particularly as part of offering material support, then Twitter could be facing a few implications here. That being said, as a personal stance, I think that Twitter should be okay, protected under the Communications Decency Act. Should it be responsible for the implications of what its users post? Well, in terms of freedom of speech, it's very touchy if you take down content. That being said, there is this understanding that extremist content shouldn't be propagated online. It shouldn't be, especially if it is being used to recruit people into. It depends on how you define things, and it depends on what you consider the boundaries to be. I honestly think it's a little bit of a stretch to sue Twitter for that. I think there are probably other factors that may have led to the spread of ISIS in the region, and I think blaming Twitter is a little bit of a stretch.
I agree with you. I think it's harsh when it comes down to national security and protecting freedom of speech. Ultimately, to blame Twitter for what happened seems to be extreme. However, there is merit to what she believes. There is a reason why she's suing Twitter. And legally, according to the sections that you read out, she does have a possible case.
I agree with that.
We'll see what happens.
Right.
You know, oftentimes these cases take years before they get resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of time. But in terms of progressive steps, what do you think should be done in order to address terrorism's global presence?
Well, in light of the conflict between the government and social media firms over encryption, over access to people's information, we need to find a good balance. There needs to be a better balance as how they work together to do it. But I agree, you know what? We should work together, especially from a cultural front, with extremist messages being online and lots of young people. I mean, everybody uses the internet today. It's hard to find somebody who isn't at least looking on the internet and seeing things. So the fact that extremist messages are on there is something that we should be on the offensive against that. And you know what? I appreciate the shift maybe to creating counter extremist messages online. I think it's good to have the discussion of what is the best way to not only counter it, but how do we create content to counter extremist messages? So from a cultural front, I think that's a good way to start. It's a good way to, outside of monitoring what's online, Twitter does have policies, and it can take down content if you violate its rules. The internet is so vast, right? It's hard to expect that every little thing is going to be taken down, especially since some of those things might not have anything wrong with them, in which case you run into the freedom of speech. So in terms of creating counter messages, I think that's a really productive way to start, especially from a cultural front.
Oftentimes, a lot of people use social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. It's so easy to use these accounts that are out there, but not to necessarily use it responsibly. And that's something that I talked with Inspector Shauna Coxon about, was the effective use of social media. I think that as time progresses, you want to be careful. You don't want to censor yourself. And oftentimes, again, when it comes down to freedom of speech, people want to feel as though they have the right to voice their opinion. They don't want to feel censored. They don't want to be scared when it comes down to voicing how they really feel. But I think you need to be responsible when you're using social media. You don't want to promote terrorism. You never want to promote anything that's illegal. And at the same time, if you feel that it's censorship when it comes down to an issue that's pertaining to, let's say, terrorism, if you feel that promoting terrorist activities, if you feel like that's censorship, it's not, because the ultimate goal of national security is to protect the security of the community. I strongly feel that Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, they do have terms and conditions that are clearly laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And as a user, you should become educated and you should be aware of what these terms and these conditions specify. Now, if you violate any of those terms or conditions, it's not only your responsibility, but now it's Twitter who's going to be sued, or Facebook that could be sued, or YouTube that could be sued. However, there are so many people out there who will post something on Twitter, and then they'll realize that they shouldn't have posted a certain comment, and they'll take it down. It's so difficult for Twitter to monitor everyone who posts a comment. There are millions and billions of users. So what would you say should happen next in terms of Twitter? Obviously, Twitter has been around for a while now. If those who are working at Twitter were to monitor every single user, that's a question of whether it's even a possibility to do so.
I think it's important to really identify, I mean, you shouldn't be posting extremist content. That's just a given. But there are accounts that are being set up, spam accounts that are automatically sending out propaganda, extremist messaging. Those are the accounts that should be filtered out. Also, you're not supposed to spam on Twitter, so they also tend to filter that out. You can't catch everything. And a firm should be expected to take steps into taking down what does violate their rules. But we have to acknowledge that not everything can be caught, especially maybe some accounts are being run by individuals who know how to get around the filters. And that's scary. It is scary. But at what point is overregulation too much? And in terms of extremism, I think the more steps we can take, the better. But I think we also need to acknowledge that some things are going to escape the grasp. And that's why I think having the counter-extremism messages are really important. Because as a young person, if you're seeing something and you hear you have the opposite right next to you, you have something that says, look, this is not the right answer. This is not something that you should be engaged in. This extremism is not okay. So it's a good step, I think. And really, in a perfect world, we could catch everything that is being used to recruit and being used for propaganda.